The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
And welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Let's call this one February 5th. How about that? And always a pleasure being with you each and every day. I'm Jack Berusian, your host. This is The Jack B Show as we try to bring pit smarts and street smarts together, folks. A little difficult at times, but you know what? It's worth the wait because chances are there are things that we need to kind of digest a little bit in this market, these weird financial waters that we face. And today is no different. A lot of green today, if you noticed. Completely the opposite of what we saw yesterday. A little funny if you think about it. I had somebody call me up and say, is this just a complete juxtaposition of yesterday's action? And I said, you know, not only that, but it's also the opposite of yesterday's action. That's a little joke, old Gilligan line from there. But you know what? The reality is this, folks, that we're seeing what I think is the market reacting to, well, you know, what it should react to, and that is good news around the world. More importantly, you had some very, very good news from what I understand, and we can dig into this a little deeper a little later on when Alan Rohrbach comes on, out of Europe. And that was important. Nariel Rabini on TV today. Folks, I want you to, are you ready? Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down? All right? You know, Mr. Doom and Gloom here, Mr. Nariel Rabini, I call him Cassandra, the soothsayer of doom, all right, who was calling for the market to be down into the single digits. I don't know what he was calling for. Anyway, now calling for the market to go up 10 to 15% this year. You know what, folks? I almost fell out of my chair watching CNBC this morning when he said that. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this guy, you know what? He's going to be losing all of his credibility now. And more than likely, and we'll talk a little bit about it with Rohrbach when he gets on, it signals that near-term top, or at least it gets close to it. And here we are at 15.10, 15.15 S&P. Sure, makes sense to me. Right? I mean, that makes plenty of sense. But anyway, it's something to keep an eye out for. I think that that's going to be very interesting to watch. A lot going on politically. I don't know if you noticed it, but finally, I guess you're starting to get some action with Attorney General Holder going after some of these rating agencies. I don't know if you saw what happened to McGraw-Hill stock today or S&P. Remember, these are the stocks that are the ones that were raiding the mortgage-backed securities, the MBSs, the CDOs, and all the rest of that garbage out there that we ended up seeing people get killed on. And some of the, I tell you, know, some of the comments anecdotally that are coming out of the conversations are not very good, all right? And more importantly, I guess here's the other question that I have is, where has the Justice Department been for the last couple of years? Look, you know what? I am the first one to point a finger to, you know, and say that they are being used, whether it's the Justice Department, the NLRB, or the EPA, as nothing more than henchmen for the president. But you know what? One of the reasons that they're there is to be, you know, again, the Department of Justice. So the reality is that this is a couple of years too late, if you ask me, all right? And more importantly, I would really like to see them maybe step up a little bit and really find who are the culprits. And more importantly, how do you get and fix that situation, all right? Because, you know, look, when you dig into it, it's not that easy, folks. You know, what happens if you take down these ratings agencies? Well, you know what? You end up with a very interesting void that is left. And I would think that if that's the case, we're going to see some more dysfunction. There was a story that I just wanted to touch on a little bit today, only because I thought that it was very interesting. You know, we've been talking about the housing market and how, you know, the bulls have it right. They've been looking at the housing market coming back. Well, you know, housing supplies, which I have said are low, are starting to affect the market now. You know, not the fact that we're starting to see sales slump, but the fact that we're starting to see homes sell faster than they have sold, and get this, folks, the last 6 years. Since 2007, we have not seen a market that moves this quickly in real estate. And how quickly are we seeing it move? Well, aside from the flipping, and I'm not talking about that. Let's take that out of the equation. You know, take the flipping out of the equation and take those people that have been pricing their markets way, way too high. They did it back in the old days. They do it now. And that stuff just sits on the market forever. So if you take out the low score and the high score, you know, a lot like the Olympics, you know, you end up with the meat of it, which is right in the middle. Well, folks, you know, anecdotally, it's now taken anywhere from 2 to 5 weeks to sell your house if it's priced right. That's actually very, very good. You know, and if you think about it, folks, you know what? That is indicative of a market that's coming back on the one hand, and on the other hand, a very low supply. Especially of existing homes. You know what? Look, new homes, as we all know, can get built. And, you know, there are plenty of new homes if you want to look in the right places, whether it be Florida or San Bernardino out in California or down in Texas or Michigan. I don't even have to go as far as any of those other places. I can go right here in Michigan where they overbuilt a great deal of housing. And, you know, the reality is this. That you started to, I mean, we're starting to see more than signs of life. This is more than green shoots, folks. All right? This is knee high by the 4th of July. You're getting it up there. It's working. It's growing. It's happening right before our very eyes. You know, look, there was an old man who once told me, patience comes to those who wait. That was Bing Sung, my old mentor, and it was always something that I could never understand. Well, guess what? Being patient with housing right now is probably one of the most important things we could have been. If you had panicked a couple of years ago and sold on the low, right now you're thinking to yourself, oh, that wasn't a good move. But yet, we're starting to see it happen. But you don't see people buying into it still. I talked to one guy today who's a big bear, and he turned to me and said, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid, Jack. You know what I mean? I don't see it. I don't see job growth. And I said, well, you're right. I don't see job growth either. But I do see a Fed that's actively pursuing keeping money very, very easy so that job growth can be managed. And at least we can start to see something. Look, everything that we are talking about right now, and I've been talking about a market, if you remember correctly, I said it before the election, I called it a buy-buy scenario. All right, this is exactly what I was talking about, whether we saw the president win or not, all right, get reelected or not, we were going to see the market go up. If we had seen a Romney election, chances are we would have seen a melt-up up to 1650 or 1700 so fast that we'd be talking about it right now in the middle of it, and people would be trying to catch their breath. All right. But the reality is that right now it's going up and people don't know why. People are scratching their heads on a month where we have seen record inflows. Yeah, I talked about it yesterday. Vanguard said they got $24 billion or whatever it was into equity funds. Here were the numbers that we got total. A total of $77 billion in the month of January went into equities and ETFs. Now that's globally. All right. Out of that, $39 billion went into our domestic funds and ETFs. Folks, that's $40 billion of buying power that came into the market. Now, here's the kicker, and this is something to understand. All right. And I've been saying this all along. Not every dollar that's put into these equity funds actually gets invested into the market. That's the one thing to keep in mind. These portfolio managers get paid to beat the bogey. What is the bogey? The S&P 500 in many cases, the Russell 2000. That's why these indices are so important. Don't look at the Dow. The Dow is, you know what, folks, the Dow is nice. It's, you know, it's only a handful of stocks. It's great. It's a great headline. But for those that manage your money, their benchmarks of performance are the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, the NASDAQ. These are the benchmarks that are more broadly based in many cases, but more importantly are the ones that their performance is judged on and their bonuses are judged on. So if they're going to make money, that's the bogey they got to beat. Guess what? They're having a real hard time beating that bogey these days. A lot of these guys, and I'm talking about these very, very smart, Wharton-educated, Harvard-educated, Dartmouth-educated, Yale-educated, these guys are some of the brains, the cream of the crop, you would think, folks. All right? You know, unfortunately, and I've learned this only because I've been around, you know, a lot of University of Chicago grads and a lot of Northwestern grads, you know, which is our little Ivy League, I guess, here in the Midwest. Unfortunately, all right, I've come to realize this. When your IQ goes so high, I think it starts over again. What I mean by that is people end up, you know, losing common sense. All right? You know, hindsight is always 20/20. We know that. Now, we can look back on things, but you know what? It really takes a lot of courage, all right, and a lot of conviction in many cases to say what you think before it happens and to act on those convictions, all right? So when I say that things are a buy-buy scenario and I get people laughing at me, look, do I turn around and I laugh right back at them in the event that it happens like it just did? No. I look at my bank account and I look at my P&L statement and I smile. and say to myself, you know what? I'm glad I did not listen to the noise. I'm glad I ignored those that didn't pay attention to what was going on and had no focus. None. They were focused on the wrong thing, if anything, folks. Look, you know, when people are telling you, like the Nario Rabinis and Dr. Rabini, folks, and I'm gonna give him I will go as far as to give him the respect of calling him a doctor. He's a doctor of economics. You know, hey, people, I deal with people all the time that insist on being called doctor. I'll never forget. There was a doctor that when I was the president of the Division of Commerce Bank here in Chicago, I have to go to Frankfurt. I'd report to the head of Treasury, and he was a doctor of economics, insisted on being called Dr. Duttweiler. And I could almost hear his heels clicking every time he insisted on me calling him Dr. Duttweiler. Anyway, but just to get back to it, look, you know, when I have the Nariel Rabinis throwing in the towel, and don't think that what he said today is not classic capitulation. It's exactly what you look for. You look for those die-hard bears. This guy's got a huge bear following, folks. He has made a living being a pessimist for the last few years. And as I have said, has kept more people out of the market. And because of that, more people have lost purchasing power parity because of him than any other person. Maybe Nassim Taleb, who also, by the way, is another one who's shown signs of capitulation. Instead of being the doom and gloomer, the Armageddon preacher, which he was, you know, the fire and brimstone, the reality is this, folks. You can't make a living betting on Armageddon. And I think that they've learned that, all right? Because all it does is it keeps people out of the market. Now, that's not saying that there isn't a place for a bear fund in a portfolio. I like that type of philosophy, by the way. You know, do I play that as a big part of my scenario? Of course not. But, you know, if I were to take a stock position, say I had 60%, if not more, of my overall portfolio in stocks, okay, which, by the way, I do, is full disclosure, and out of that 60%, what I might do is take 5 or 10% of it and put it into what I consider to be bearish exposure. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm looking to be non-correlated. No, but I am just looking for some bearish exposure. Now, how would I do that? Well, I could do that a couple of different ways. And depending on if you're qualified or not, I would say make sure that you follow somebody and who's a financial advisor. But you could do it with the ETF market. All right? You could do it with bear ETFs. I actually like to do it with hedge funds. And a lot of people can't get into hedge funds, unfortunately. You know, that universe is closed off to them. But there are people out there that are very, and they're designed specifically for that type of investment. Now, remember, you need to be a qualified investor. You need to have a couple of million under management. That's why, or in net worth. That's why I say to you, look at the ETF market if you want, but a bear ETF or a short position in futures. All right. Again, but take that against your overall portfolio, just like you would, if you think about it, with an overall bond position. Now, that should not be confused with money that you put aside in what I call actively managed non-correlated assets. That's different. All right. That 5 or 10% that sits there and just gets chopped around and people are making money off of that based off of what's happening in equities should be left alone. No, I'm talking about specifically an investment strategy within the various asset classes of your portfolio. Learn how to diversify the various asset classes, just like you would diversify a futures asset class or that 5 or 10% that we call that non-correlated asset class. So understand that. Look, this isn't rocket science, folks. All right? I learned it from being on the phone with some very smart people. I did not go to school and learn this. You know why? Because everything that you learn in a book is actually nonsense in many cases when it comes to portfolio management. You know, what they'll tell you is that they'll tell you in theory what things should be. I remember taking a theory class in futures, folks. I was in one of my last years at Loyola. I had worked downtown here at the exchange. I was a runner. I was a phone clerk. And there I was in a futures class figuring out, you know what, I was going to be nice and easy. And I realized that everything that I was being taught on the theory side had absolutely nothing to do with the real world, which I was part of at the time. And that disconnect always, it was something that I filed in the back of my brain, and I'll remember, you know, as my children were going to school, and my daughter who's still in school, you know, as they go out into their work experiences, it's one of the things that I tell them. It's one of the truisms, folks. All right, again, that disconnect between theory and practical purpose and practical use. All right, we're going to take a few minutes, and then when we do, I'm going to bring out Alan Rohrbach. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Europe. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Asia. And then after that, we're going to keep him on the phone, bring Greg Hadley out here, and talk about this collaboration between him and the Bull and Bear Institute. This is the Jack Baroogian Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull and Bear Institute. Bull and Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, on a day where we saw the market bounce right back after the action that we saw yesterday, which was really led mostly by what was going on overseas. And as you recall, when we were talking about that, I said, you know what, I got to get Rohrbach in here because he knows what's going on. And sure enough, we got him on the phone for a couple segments here. Alan Rohrbach, of course, he is the founder of Rohr International. You can always get him at Rohr-blog, which is his daily blog, one of the best blogs out there right now. But I got to tell you, Alan, I am watching a roller coaster ride, I guess, based off of what's going on in Europe. Explain to me and the listeners what the heck is going on out there. What was the bad news yesterday? What's the good news today?
Well, the good news today was that except for Italy and France, generally, globally, not just Europe, the purchasing managers' indices of services were better, somewhat better than expected. And it gets back to a point about Europe you were discussing with me last week when you said, can German improvement carry the rest of Europe? And you'll recall, Jack, we said, nope, it cannot, because Germany is improving, because Germany has already done the labor market reforms and pension reforms that the rest of Europe is still struggling
with. Well, now,
with.
Is this number an overall European? Explain to us exactly what the number is that you just said was I guess, better than expected. Is it just concentrated on certain parts of Europe, or is it an overall number, or how is it done?
Well, the Eurozone composite was slightly better than expected at 48.6 instead of 48.3, projected. That's 48.3 was the same as last month because Germany was so much stronger, not than expected, but it's strengthening. It's up to 55.7 again. But France is at 43.6. Italy's at 43.9. So they're showing, and those were unexpectedly weak numbers, still well below, you know, the balance point at 50. And it's just showing how you have a two-track economy in Europe. But as importantly, part of the reason the markets are up today is the Chinese services PMI outperformed to the upside, 54 versus about a 52 expected. You know, the UK surprisingly shot into positive ground. They were expecting it to still be right just below 50. It was 51.5. And, of course, ours was pretty good as well, so well above 50 again. So it's all above. It's all about generally, other than the periphery of Europe, things are looking a bit better. But when you talk about Europe, the other thing that's important to recognize is a lot of the factors that were upbeat, just the general upbeat equities tone in January, which, as you know, even as someone who has some considerations that might still be problems for the market to some degree as we proceed through the first quarter, you know, I was allowing that, hey, don't get bearish in January because the sentiment's upbeat. And sure enough, right at the end of January to the end of last week and early this week, you've got concerns about Italy, Spain, and Greece once again regarding, you know, the political situation.
But Alan, here I'm gonna jump in here. Let me ask you this. Now I've been hearing that, and we've been talking about this now, I guess ad nauseum for the last couple of years. Are we at that point now where we've basically concluded that the Eurozone will not break up? Therefore, these problems, whatever they might be, whether it be Italy, whether it be Greece, whether it be Spain, will be resolved. And more importantly, down the road, we are going to see, I guess, these numbers, these, you know, the Eurozone numbers really give us an indication that things are healthy.
Well, those are really two different questions, whether the euro is going to break up and whether things are healthy. It really spans two points. And the first point is no. I do not believe the euro will break up. So you're right. That removes a significant crisis potential, just the sheer, you know, panic and disorderly financial markets. But the dilemma remains that a lot of what they've said they've done and wanted to say, let's get past it to restoring growth. In Spain, you have the scandal now. For any listeners who aren't informed, there was a slush fund that was found that the governing party for many years, not just the current administration, but Mr. Rajoy himself, the prime minister, along with many other highly placed officials in his party, had been paid supplemental income out of this for years. That could cause potential early election.
But Alan, wait a second now. I feel, you know what, I think I'm going to steal a line out of Casablanca here when Inspector Renault says, you know, the prefect of police, right? I'm shocked to find that there's gambling.
Shocked to find
that there's corruption.
Yes,
exactly.
I know.
Especially in Europe, where we've known that it's been there forever, and it's probably taken down more of the governments over the course. Yeah, I tried to explain that to somebody the other day. I said, you realize in Italy alone, you know, since World War II, they've probably had about, 25 or 30 different governments, haven't they?
Oh, at least.
Yeah, if not more. I mean, it's just the dysfunction in Europe, and Alan, you could correct me if I'm wrong, is nothing new, all right? I mean, it is. I think it's a question of you know, chaos coming out of order, or you know what I mean? Or order
right.
Coming out of chaos is really what it is in this
right.
case.
But one of the key factors there is that, again, Italy now, while it looks like, you know, it's going to be simply down to how the election goes that they're going to have shortly, whether Mr. Berlusconi's promises of lower taxes, which basically upset the austerity program, actually gets him enough traction to get back into office, or Mr. Monti's going to be running the government. But Berlusconi's party has already done very well. Even in Germany, the Social Party, Angela Merkel's opponents, have done very well in the Lower Saxony election. That means they end up with a majority in the upper house of parliament there, so on and so forth. It just means all of this assured confident the crisis is over talk in Europe, as we had been cautioning, it might be just a bit premature. And the other thing we have, of course, is just rotating back around to mention the states. It's going to be very interesting to see how the data here, and I know you like to get into the what's coming up a little later, but maybe this week we've got a lot going on, like the ECB meeting. That'll be important for Europe on Thursday.
Is that a two-day meeting? Is that a one-day meeting, Alan?
No, ECB meeting is always one day, but they end up with the press conference afterward at 7:30 a.m. Thursday, Central Time, right as we're getting the weekly jobless claims number here. They always start, and if you go to the ECB's website, then you can actually stream that. You can watch the press conference live, and that's quite useful.
Hey, Alan, before we leave this segment, you know what? And I don't want to leave Europe. I want to go to my favorite European bear, Nario Rubini. I don't know if you saw him on TV earlier today.
I did. I love Santelli's comment of him saying that he's a little he wouldn't say he was bullish, but he said he's more friendly to the United States than Europe or Japan. And when they asked Santelli about it, he said, oh, it's his Neville Chamberlain moment.
You know what? Very good. I like that. I didn't catch that. But, you know what? I guess, what do you read into that? Here's a guy who's a diehard bear. In fact, I said that he's probably been responsible for keeping more people out of the market.
I was listening to what you had to say before. And, yes, you're right. A lot, him and Meredith Whitney Nassim Taleb are all responsible for people being scared to put their money into the market. But what do I think? I think that they're having to allow that the central bank money printing operations have done more to calm people's nerves and restore some sense, even if some of it's phony and it's just people putting money into companies because they can't get any yield on interest rates at the short or long end of the curve. They've had to allow, it's created enough capital flow that it's certainly buffering their crisis scenario.
Hey, you know what? I got about 30 seconds here. Just give me a one-word answer. I'd love to hear it. Are Nariel Rubini's 15 minutes of fame over?
Unless the market breaks again, yes. If it breaks again, he'll be back. He's
well,
like
you know
Joe
what?
Granville. Every time the market sold off, people want to know what Granville thought. When it was going up, who cares?
Well, right? You know what? Joe Granville, unfortunately, is in the Where Is He Now column, and I got a feeling the Nariel Rubini will be in that same column along with him in another couple of years. All right, we're going to take a few minutes here, Alan. Why don't you hang on a second as we pay a few bills. When we come back, not only am I going to have Alan on, let's bring on the guys from the Bull and Bear Institute and talk about their collaboration. We'll be right back.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. On this Tuesday, the 5th of February, looking at a market just coming right back after yesterday's action. Nice to see. And we've got a special show here, special segment. I like it. I got Alan Rohrbach on the phone, and I have got Greg Hadley from the Bull and Bear Institute right in front of me in the studio here. Greg, always a pleasure to see you, my friend.
You know? Thank you, Jack.
Hey, you know what? I know that you guys are working together. Alan, why don't you talk a little bit about what you're doing, what Rohr is doing with the Bull and Bear Institute, and then from the technician standpoint, and then I'm going to bring Greg in to talk about how they're doing it from the trader standpoint or from the chat room standpoint.
Well, what we are doing together is basically putting together some new ways for traders to tap into the thoughts of experienced analysts and traders of the market. And what we have put together, what Bull and Bear has put together, and I'm collaborating with them, is the VIP trading room. Only VIP, it almost is a hospitality term, as you know, Jack.
Sounds like a champagne room. I don't know.
Exactly. Only this is variable investment for professionals is VIP.
I like that. That's very nice.
And, well, so many people, like to trade the markets, like to get recommendations, but they often wonder about the background. And then one of the things we put together with the VIP trading room, the primary focus is the STRAT, S-T-R-A-T, STRAT service, the STRAT reports. And STRAT stands for Structured Trend Risk Advisory Team. And the team is Greg and I and a couple of other folks who are participating from both the trend analysis, which I substantially provide, and the option structure side. So, Jack, it's one of those things you really love and always recommend people. The structured trend risk, structured risk is we're always only buying options, so you have your amount you can lose is set. You can't lose more than what we recommend you get in for, and I then try and pick those times when the trend is critical to say, when can we see something that's going to see a significant follow-through in the market, so we have some real underlying price movement in those
options. So, Alan, basically what's happening is that you're coming up with the idea or coming up with maybe the view from 30,000 feet. And
the
Greg,
trend view, yes.
And Greg, that's exactly where you guys take it over from a trading standpoint. Now, I think Alan said that you only buy options. I think you also spread options.
Yeah, so of course. I mean, what we're doing is we're long, or you know, we have spreads on. And what we're doing is we're looking at various butterflies. We have our own special butterfly that even if the market blows through the butterfly, you know, you still are taking money off the table.
So
the
give me an idea, though. But give me an idea, Greg. I want the listeners to understand how this works. You get an idea from Alan based off of his work, and then what do you do with that idea?
For instance, last week our latest strat call was when the market started moving to the upside. You know, we looked at it, and we looked at the 95-15 quarter call fly, and we put a recommendation out when it was trading about $3. And again, the most you can lose is your initial entry fee. You know, and that's why I love options. You and I both love options. You too, Alan, because you can limit your exposure as you go in by making sure that you spread these options off.
Hey, Alan, does it help you as somebody who's a technician, a strategist, to see your ideas actually taken and employed, I guess, into a trading strategy?
Well, in fact, it's very helpful, and it goes to a different level than net positions in the underlying futures. If you've got a futures position, of course, people should trade futures, and there are times you want to be in a futures position, that's fine. But as you always point out, Jack, that's a performance bond, that margin, and you can lose more than you put up. The beauty of what we're collaborating on in the Strat service and the VIP trading room is that I get to see my trend ideas translated into positions that, number one, are very cost-effective to get into. We try and spend no more than several dollars, several S&P dollar points, and we end up with potentials that can be double and triple that, and that I give Greg Hadley a lot of credit. He's educated me quite a bit in the last 6 months over let's be as frugal and as greedy as possible on behalf of our clients in finding the spreads and the butterflies that you can enter for a very low price. But if we're right about where the market's going for, let's say, a $10 or $20 or $40 swing in the S&P, that's my trend view, it's very comfortable getting in. And if it starts going wrong, you likely only lose a fraction of what you paid. You know, it's the most you can lose, let's say, is $3 on a position.
Well, but that's where the nuances
can even make that less. And that's a beautiful thing.
That's where the nuances of options come in. And Greg, I know that your background obviously is very, very strong. You traded, for those that don't know, Greg was out in Hong Kong trading with Salomon Brothers, S.G. Warburg. He's a man who knows his game. Greg, for you, I'll reverse the question that I just asked Alan. Does it help you to have somebody who can give you that view from 30,000 feet so you're not going in looking for just any trade willy-nilly? You have got a real opinion, a real target in mind, and you're just looking for the cheapest and best and most efficient way to be able to capture that.
Yes, the one thing I really like about working with Alan is we're taking his trend analysis, both longer term and shorter term. I mean, with the exchanges now having options that expire basically every single week now. As an options trader, I used to love to set up these kind of plays myself. But now I'm actually having someone that can say, hey, Greg, in the next 3 days, I'm thinking we might go back up and test this level. What do you think? And then we take that information, we have a time frame, we have a price area, and then it's up to me to sit down and go, I want cheap, I want bang for my buck, and I want to be able to know that, you know, it's just more than a guess. There's actually mathematics behind it. There's a lot behind it. And that's what Alan brings to the table. And that I bring to the table is, again, how do we get the best bang for the buck? It's a great partnership.
Do you guys stick with your area of expertise? In other words, Alan, are you correcting Greg on any trade he might make? And Greg, are you correcting Alan on any opinion he might have?
I don't think it's so much a matter of correcting as it is evolving ideas. And that's part of the other thing we're putting together, a bit of this stream we're going to have out there, a stream of market perceptions, as we like to call it, where I'll come up with what I think is, as Greg very aptly put it, we've got a target and we've got a time frame it's going to be hit in. That helps the options analyst a lot know where the best tactics are in the options. And then, but when I come up with it, I'll even say, I think maybe a certain option strategy or specific positions now might be best. And Greg will take it, think about the time frame and the target, and he'll say, you know, we can do something else, we can get in cheaper, and we're going to make just as good a percentage return. So it's more so evolutionary than actually looking to, in some way, correct or change something else, someone else has said, as opposed to enhancing it.
Hey, Greg, you know, as an old-time trader, man, do you like working as a team again now with somebody who's a strategist, who's given direction, where you can just go in and kind of do what you do best?
Oh, yeah. You know what? That's what really makes it a lot of fun because, you know, the team approach really is the way to really maximize your return. And this way, Alan does what he does best. I'll do what I like to think I do best. And again, if you can give me a target, it's like calling in artillery back in my ROTC days, Jack. You know, you give me the artillery area, you give us the blast zone, we'll bring in the artillery, we'll drop it right in on the target. That's what this is, risk reward.
I like it. Hey, guys, this is fantastic. It's been a real pleasure. Alan Rohrbach, of course, you can get him at Alan Rohrbach or Rohr International or Rohr-blog, which is his thing. Alan, always a pleasure. And, of course, Greg Hadley, the founder of the Bull and Bear Institute. Greg, it's always a pleasure. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client, and you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for this Tuesday. Again, the 5th of February. And why is the 5th day important? Well, that's because you get some of that pension money coming in and hitting. Didn't hit yesterday, it hits today. You know, it's funny because there are certain days when you see some of that money hit. And, you know, again, these are record months that we are seeing for inflows into equities. And by the way, that doesn't mean that people aren't buying bonds. It's one of the reasons why the bond market doesn't break as hard as normally it would in this environment. I mean, you know, even with today's strength, we saw the 10-year work its way over 2%, but nothing substantial. You know, look, if you had told me that we would be up at 1,500 in the S&P by at this time, I would have thought we would have been looking at a 2.5% yield in the 10 years. Yet that's not happening. So, you know, that tells me that there is, number one, a buffer there. So, you know, you've got people holding it up. But it's not going to be a balloon bursting, folks. It's going to be a gradual move down. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hard moves down and seeing rates spike. Of course, I think we'll see that. It's inevitable. Look, as any student of the market will tell you, it's inevitable.
And it's one of the reasons, by the way, I just want to go back to it. I like the collaboration that we're seeing, you know, between Alan Rohrbach and the guys at the Bull and Bear Institute. Look, you know what it is? It's the classic case of having a technician, a market analyst, which are notoriously bad traders, by the way. And I don't know. Alan could be a great trader for all I know. I don't follow his trading. I don't ask him about his trading. All I know is that, you know, chances are when he puts on a position, he can no longer be objective, like most market analysts are. All right? And that's one of the reasons why a lot of these guys will not put on positions, because they need to be unbiased. They need to be objective in their opinion. Once you put on a position, folks, I don't care who you are, you're no longer objective. It's just the way it is. It's one of the reasons I tell you if I've got a position on. I want you to know, all right, I'm talking position. And when I don't have a position on, I could be very objective. So I can tell you what I think if I'm out of the gold market, all right? Or if I'm long, short caps or small caps, and I'm watching that Russell go up, tell you what, folks, I'm going to be riding it all along, and I'm going to be telling you all along it's going up. So keep an eye on that. I mean, but more importantly, understand that, again, the classic case, as I said before, when you have a technician, technicians are notoriously bad traders. Traders are bad, notoriously bad technicians. It's just the way it works. All right? I can give you, and this is the way it always works, somebody who's one of the best traders in the world usually gets his work from somebody else. And the person who is one of the best technicians usually sells his work to somebody else that's a great trader. And that is the relationship. Don't ask me why. Very rarely do the two combine. One of the few, by the way, that actually does do that very well, and we'll have him on again later on in the show, is Aaron Reinglass, the old mayor of the pits. He does that well. In fact, I got to tell you something. You know, if you can get to that point, but it's taken him, you know, a good, 30 years or so to get there, folks. All right. So it's not something that happens overnight. You know, and you've heard me say it before. For those of you that are new traders, remember, all right, you know, when you step in to the markets, you're going in against people that have been doing it as long as Aaron has. All right, or as long as Greg Hadley has been trading. You know, these guys have been doing it for decades, folks. All right, so again, you know, there is no minor league, if you think about it, when it comes to what's going on here with the markets. Anyway, getting to some of the things that did come out today, we saw the ISM non-manufacturing index come out, which came out a little better than expected. Something that I like to see. It's one of the one of the pieces of good news. MBA purchase applications tomorrow are going to be important. Why? Because of what you heard me saying earlier about existing home sales supplies. Let's keep an eye on that. You know what, folks? That's going to be one of the untold stories here over the course of the next few months. We're going to be hearing more and more about inventory levels, of housing inventory levels being lower than expected. And with that, of course, is going to come this entire, I guess, resurgence and renaissance of home building and in home buying that takes place here, especially with money being as cheap as it is. The other thing that I do want to point out is that we have got a couple of auctions and note announcements, I should say, the 10-year, the 30-year, the 3-year. But the big numbers and the big things that I want to pay attention to are really coming out on Thursday. And by the way, you know, interestingly enough, we've got a couple of guys from CNBC. I think Steve Leisman is going to come into the city here and do an interview with Charlie Evans. And that's going to be early in the morning. It's going to be about 7 o'clock our time here in Chicago, 8 o'clock Eastern time. But try to pay attention to that. That's going to be... If nothing else, folks, remember, Charlie Evans is a voting member of the Fed. So it's going to be significant enough to try to read his mind a little bit and try to get into where his head is as these new Fed governors. Remember, you get a new slate of governors now and what they're thinking and what they're saying. Jobless claims, as usual, is the other thing on Thursday. Again, Thursday is that big day for us, all right? And the jobless claims number, again, is something that we want to pay attention to. Look for that number to be anywhere around 350 or 360,000. If it comes out better than expected, you know, so be it. I think we could really like that. The other number is productivity and costs. You know, non-farm productivity is something that we want to keep an eye on, folks. All right, consensus is for that to be down. Now, why is that important? And I want you to follow this. This is very logical. All right, if you get more and more productivity out of employees, you're less apt to be hiring.
right, is really the way it works. You know, what happened is we saw productivity levels come out so high over the course of the last couple of years. Why? Well, because people were very reluctant to bring on new employees. You know, they didn't know we still don't know in many cases the uncertainties that lie ahead for employees as far as, you know, the costs that are involved, what Obamacare is, what exactly they have to do and comply with from a compliance standpoint. Very difficult to run your own business these days, all right? But all of that, folks, is really getting reflected now in non-farm productivity. We want to see some of those numbers come off. I'd like to see a flat number there. I would not mind seeing a negative number there. Remember, that implies that more than likely we're getting to the point where there's going to be some rehiring. You get too much productivity, folks. If you get too much out of the employee, well, what happens is they just maintain that, all right? We can see productivity go up with no hiring. I'd rather see some, and I know it's counterintuitive, but at this stage in the game, it's what you want to see, all right? So don't argue with me on it. Just accept it. The other thing is consumer credit, which comes out later in the day. It's something that Rohrbach always looks at. In fact, he was the one who taught me to start looking at it. That number is looked upon, and again, this is a number that is going to be very important. So the question is it for the November number, which it is, and that was bumped up by student loans. But look for that thing to be anywhere between 10 to 20 billion. That's a big number, folks, 10 to 20 billion in consumer credit. Now, that's a big expansion. More than likely, it's something that the market's going to like. But in hindsight, we're going to have to look back on that and say, look, you know, you can only borrow so much before it comes back to bite you in the behind. Something that our own, I think, federal government is learning the hard way. All right, that's it for me. Always the fastest hour of my day. Always to see green on the board. This is Jack Baruchin. Have yourselves a great night. I'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.